I think it's best if I start with the background, all the background that makes people realize how powerful the affidavit is, and the reason why I created that affidavit. In 2013, basically I got a traffic ticket. I parked my car in a disabled spot. Didn't realize it was a disabled spot. I was just dropping off an invoice of someone's computer fixed in a shop across the road. It was a shop that sells houses. I forgot what they're called. And there's a traffic warden going to stick a traffic ticket on my car. So I went screaming out through the door to give this guy a load of abuse, basically, because I knew my stuff even back then. And I stopped midway. I stopped this process because I realized he'd signed it. He'd signed the ticket. He picked up a pen and he squiggled a ticket. And then I shut up. I shut up at that point. And I held my hand out and I said, present me with the ticket. Which stunned him, basically, because I stopped ranting and raving at him. It was comical to watch. If someone was watching it, he'd have fell about laughing. So I took the ticket off him, which is a traffic ticket. It's a parking ticket under the Traffic Management Act 2004. And obviously, they want you to pay the fine, which if you paid it in the first 14 days, it was a 35 quid fine. But if you didn't pay it in the first 14 days, it was a 70 quid fine. If you didn't pay it in the 17 to 28 days, then you're going to end up at a tribunal. I thought, happy days, we're going to a tribunal. This is where we're going to go. So if you look at that, it's actually Exhibit B in the affidavit. I never went to the tribunal. I did everything on paper. And I won that tribunal. And as a result of that winning that tribunal, the paper that I got back from the tribunal, from the adjudication, that said, Mr. David Ward, well, it's not Mr. David Ward, the appellant, which is me, Mr. David Ward, which is the person, not the man, but the people that want to split the difference between the person, the legal fiction, the straw man, and the living man. It was the person, it was the appellant that has no liability, and I'm going to keep emphasizing this word, liability, to pay the PCN, because you cannot have a liability or an obligation outside of a contract, a formal and official signed contract signed by the parties in full knowledge and understanding of what that contract is and the terms and conditions of that contract. Now, I'm a contractor. I've been working contracts since I finished my apprenticeship as a pipe fitter welder. I'm not even going to think about how long ago that was. So I know what contracts are because I've read every one of them. And the paperwork that came back from the tribunal. Now, a tribunal is a government recognized due process. The tribunal adjudication said the appellant, which is Mr. David Ward, has no liability. Now, the merits or the facts of the case that I entered into that case is the fact that we are governed by consent, policed by consent. The definition of the word statute is a legislative rule given force of law by the consent of the governed. And that word by creates a legal precedence. It creates a legal condition which must be fulfilled with evidence in fact. If you go to the dentist, you sign a consent. You pick up a pen and you sign it. Now, if no one signed the consent of the governed, signed that legal agreement, the word liability no longer exists. There cannot be a liability. The appellant has no liability. There is no government because there's no recognized governed people. Without that signed, the 63.5 million signed legal consents in the UK in 2013, there is no government because without the governed people, the one could not exist in the absence of the other. And that's the case that I won in 2013. But that's with the local borough council. And I need to do something in Westminster. So I'm going to put an affidavit together and I'm going to crack into that affidavit everything that I know that is pertinent and valid. And I could have put tons into that affidavit. But an affidavit is a sworn statement on the penalty of perjury and full commercial liability. Right, let's forget the word affidavit for a minute and just work on the words a sworn statement on the penalty of perjury and full commercial liability. Penalty of perjury? Perjury carries a term of incarceration of 10 years. So if I've served this document on 657 MPs in Westminster, and I've got it wrong, if I perjured myself, that's 6,570 years jail time. So I'm not going to get this wrong because I know what I'm doing. Now, as being as it's an affidavit, and we've included the word affidavit because it is an affidavit, if they don't rebut or redress in writing to the exhibits in that affidavit, the affidavit makes that affidavit a legal and binding agreement between me and the 657 MPs in Westminster, which I know is the administrative office of 174 countries, including Australia, New Zealand, Russia, America, Canada. Pick a country name. You'll find it difficult to come up with a country name that's not on that administration list. So I added into that affidavit everything that I deemed to be pertinent. And then the first thing I did as Exhibit A, oh, and that's my preamble as to what the affidavit is and how powerful it is. It's 657 legal agreements. And then after the 28 days, when it's not been rebutted, redressed or challenged, they've legally agreed to it. Therefore, I published it by the cover decree. Now I've made that affidavit public so that everyone on the planet can use it as an agreed foundation in fact. Now that is a document, it's a legal document, which is a legal agreement, which is 7.5 billion times more powerful than the Magna Carta. You know, it destroys every government on the planet. Because every government on the planet is a government because they are elected. Well, I've won this case, even though I may or may have not voted. The fact that I've voted or have not voted is irrelevant. The fact that anybody has voted for that government is now irrelevant because the appellant, Mr. David Ward, has no liability under the Act. I've taken out the foundation. The fact that it's a parking ticket is now irrelevant. I've taken out the foundation of governments. Governed by consent, policed by consent. That consent has got to be a signed and legal document, and without it, there is no government. So that's how powerful this affidavit is. It will make the judge shit their knickers. It will make the barristers and the lawyers shit their knickers, because they're the sub-office, which is why I included, and now we'll get into some of the details of the affidavit. And Exhibit 1 is the presumption of law. Law is a presumption. It's an idea. It's a concept in the abstract without any substantive facts or reality because it's a presumption. It's presumed to be. It's an ideology. Yeah? And there is no such thing as common law because no one's agreed to what common law is. No one's got the big book of common law, 7.5 billion people on the planet, 25 million people in Australia, 67 million people in the UK. I've got hold of the big book of common law and signed it to agree to it. There's no such thing as common law. There's no such thing as law. So the presumptions of law, as being instance of presumption, I challenge the presumption as an exhibit in the affidavit. Now, being as I've challenged the presumption, and therefore, the government, the 657 MPs, cannot prove me wrong on that challenging of the presumption. The government have agreed that there is no such thing as law. Law has gone. All law, maritime law, gone. Admiralty law, gone. Canon law, gone. Law of the land, gone. Law of the sea, gone. Anything to do with law, gone. All in the bin. Two pages. Two pages, the presumptions of law, fucking gone, buried it in the dirt because it's a load of bullshit from the days of Babylon. Now that Exhibit A, if you realize what that is, it's fucking phenomenal on its own. Which brings us to Exhibit B. Exhibit B is the case of one at the tribunal. So 657 MPs and Westminster have agreed that the people, that Mr. David Ward, the person or the man, it's irrelevant which, and the 67.5 million people in the UK are not the governed people. There is no governed people, therefore they cannot be a government. Government defeated. Defeated in one case at a tribunal over a parking ticket. Boom. Gone. You're done. You're fucked. Which brings us to Exhibit C. And I think this is cream because this happened 5 years before I won the case. And these, as been as I've got my ear to the ground and I do my research, you know, people say they go down the black rabbit hole and they know this, that and the other. No, they don't. You've got to go deep and wide down that black rabbit hole. You've got to find hard evidence, in fact, that cannot be contested. And if you can listen to all kind of jibber-jabber, but jibber-jabber is jibber-jabber. You need to find the hard facts, the indisputable facts. And in 2008, the Lord Chief Justice, Sir Jack Beeson, FBA, gave a speech in a Nottingham and Trent law university. Now think about that. The Lord Chief Justice, the top judge in the country, has gone to a law university to make a speech. Well, if you are part of the faculty or you're going to that law university, you need to be in that room, because if you're not in that room, when the big boss man comes to town, you shouldn't be in that law university at all. The big boss man is coming to town. And in that speech, I actually found myself, someone, I don't know how I found that document. I think someone gave me a link to it, and I found myself reading this speech by the Lord Chief Justice. And the document itself, which documented, it's on the judiciary's website. You know, everyone can read it. It's there. They've published it. It's all about what the judge can and cannot say outside the courtroom. So it's all jibber-jabber. 99% of that document is jibber-jabber, apart from the second paragraph in where the Lord Chief Justice spoke these words. That due to the changes in 2003, it became necessary to reevaluate the relationship. Now, for 800 years, the judiciary have maintained their independence from government. But now the Lord Chief Justice, in what he said, to reevaluate the relationship, there is a relationship between the judiciary and the government. Undeniable. It became necessary to reevaluate the relationship between the judiciary and the two stronger branches of the state. Right, which is the legislative and the executive, which places the judiciary and the Lord Chief Justice in the third office down. It's actually the bottom office. It's the janitor's office of the company. So anybody above him, which is the MPs, which is the police, which is your borough councils, which is your traffic warden. Oh my God, the traffic warden is the judge's boss. All these people are the judge's boss, and the judge cannot preside over his boss. He hasn't got the authority to preside over his boss. Which is why I went to look for a definition of the word statute, state, you know, the United States of America. We have in the UK, we're not called a United States, we're called a parliament. But there is a Secretary of State. So when the Lord Chief Justice said it became necessary to reevaluate the relationship between the two stronger branches of the state, I now need a definition of the word state, which is indisputable. And I found that within minutes, definition of the word state. And that is a guy called Shadman Kathutas, PhD of the London Institute of Economics. Now, there's not many people in government that's actually got a PhD. You know, Boris Johnson has got nothing. He came away from Oxford with jack shit. He didn't pass anything. He just went to Oxford. The guy is a complete buffoon. And no one's got any PhDs. You know, all these MPs and leaders of the nation. Well, where's your PhD in leadership? So actually having a PhD is something profound. And Shadrach Kathuthas gave a definition of the word state, which, and it took him seven pages to come up with a definition for the word. And I narrow that down into one sentence. A state is a company no different to McDonald's, which most of you people know anyway. You know it's a company, but now it's formal and official because this definition of the word state is published on the government.eu. And you can reference, if you're going to law university, you can actually reference that Shadrach Kathuthas document in your degree thesis, because that is company doctrine. This is indisputable facts, and the government or anybody in government will not challenge it, will not say it's bollocks, because Shadrach Kathuthas was told to do that in 2008. A state is a company. Oh my God. And the Lord Chief Justice, Sir Jack Beetson, and FBA, was told to say what he did. Otherwise, he would not have said it. You know, you're talking, if you've got 800 years of the judiciary maintaining the fact that they're a separate entity to the government, and the Lord Chief Justice, Sir Jack Beetson, has just said the exact opposite, that's get a bullet in your head, son. It certainly wouldn't be published on the judiciary's own website. You know, that's terminate your job. If you said that anywhere, willy-nilly, and tried to publish it on the judiciary website, it's goodbye, son. Have a nice day. You're getting run over with a truck. But so Jack Beetson was told to do that by the states, by the government. I don't know who by. Don't ask me who by. It's there. It's in black and white. It's clinical. It's critical. It's indisputable facts. The office of the judiciary and the Lord Chief Justice is nothing more than a company janitor. And the government, the executive office of the state corporate entity, which is McDonald's, or no different to McDonald's, has no authority because 7.5 billion people on the planet have not signed that legal document agreeing to be governed, the consent of the governed. So Exhibit A, B, and C, it's guns and bullets, nuclear weapon, boom, 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 you're fucked, you're done, you're screwed. This document is a government cabal killer, which I sent to all the MPs on the 28th of February 2015, expecting to get run down by a truck the next day. And 28 days went by, and I didn't get run down by a truck, and he didn't get a bullet in the head, and I'm still here. So this has got government sanctioned and approved. This is sanctioned and approved by Westminster. So taking it from the Borough Council into Westminster. And Westminster is a head office for 174 countries. And that's another document, which is another 65-page document, which I could have added into the affidavit. But now you're adding another 65 pages to the affidavit. You know, it's already 65 pages big. You add another 65 pages to that, you're talking something half an inch thick. And you've got to try and get people to read this. The first time I published the case file at the tribunal, it was 28 pages long. Not the 14 pages it is now. It was 28 pages long. Trying to get people to read 28 pages is impossible. So I actually had to gut out 14 pages of the explanations and the details and the context, explaining the minor details of that case, just to get people to read it. But it's still there, it's still intact, it's still got its integrity, and there's still enough explanations between the different documents to give that 14-page case file it's to maintain its integrity. So it is there, you know. It doesn't take a lot to derive exactly what the implications of this case is. So I didn't do too much. I'm ripping out 14 pages. So that is the power. And of course, I'm going to add things to that. You know, if I'm destroying 8 million acts and statutes. There's some things I need to put back in. You know, and one of the important things I deemed to put back in was the Companies Act 2006, Section 42, which is Exhibit D. You know, a formal and legal document, a company document, it's got to be signed. You've got to pick up a pen and sign it. You've got to put your company seal on it. And if it's not signed and it's not sealed, well, it's just a piece of paper with crappy marks on it saying jibber-jabber crap. So anyone that's not signed it or used a Mickey Mouse computer graphic affidavit, which is not signed, then you violated the Companies Act 2006, Section 44, and you committed fraud. And if you look under the, and I didn't put this in because I don't need to, fraud is fraud by abuse of position. Section 4, Part 2 of the Fraud Act 2006. So if it's not signed, you've committed fraud. You know, I didn't feel it necessary to include that, which took us to the next exhibit. And I can't remember what the next exhibit was. It could be, you know, an Englishman's home is his castle. If you've not invited someone to come to your house, this is, you know, this is ancient doctrine in the UK. If they're not invited, they breached your boundary without an invitation, without an RSVP. That's an act of war. These people do not have the authority to come banging on your door, trespassing on your property. And you can lock and load. Lock and load. Boom. Because that is an act of war. That's doctrine in the UK. And I continued that. I gave reference to the fact somewhere that someone had bashed a bailiff over the head with a smashed a milk bottle over the head on a bailiff. And the bailiff had took her to court for charges for assault. And he just said, you've not got the right of entry to come into her house. So I included in that an Englishman's home is his castle doctrine, the fact that these people have got no authority to come into your house, to take your property, to take your stuff. I thought that pertinent to put in, and there's 657 legal agreements to that fact. And another part of the affidavit is, you know, the insanity of taxation, which I call the loaf of bread document. Which is all about the fact that you're getting the living crap taxed out of you. And that's probably, I am not an, I actually failed GCSE English grammar at school. You know, picking up a pen to me is the hardest thing on this planet, or it was. It's not anymore. But that loaf of bread document, the insanity of tax, that's the first piece of written work I have ever done in my life. I have never needed to pick up the pen, apart from to sign the contract. So that's my first ever written work. You're reading the first ever written work of David Ward, is that loaf of bread document. And I was halfway through typing this thing up one night, and I was doing all, you know, if you're John the farmer and you've got a farm and you're paying council tax on your farm outstanding, and then you need to prepare the field and fire up a tractor, and he's dieseling the tractor, and it's 63% duty and the VAT on the duty. I'm going through this thing. I got halfway through it and I felt suicidal. It was that depressing. And so I had to change the flavor of that to make it look like a narrative between two people, like a short play, to give it some joviality. Because if you read that, the way I started reading it, you'd go and fucking hang yourself. The original transcript of that, you'd go and hang yourself. So it's the fact that everybody, and it doesn't matter who you are, the policeman, you're getting taxed at 85% of your gross. Why? You're the one we pay tax for to feed and clothe and house and go on holiday and have a car. Why are you paying tax? 85% of your gross income goes into the tax black hole. You know, this is why countries are going bust. This is why Greece went bust. This is why Iceland went bust. So Greece, it was 2008, I think, yeah? And Iceland, it was 2011. And 2017, Venezuela went bust. And his video somewhere on YouTube where the Venezuelan currency is floating down the street like dead leaves. You know, this is the economics of, which is willful and belligerent. This is a willful assassination, a willful It's a willful and belligerent executed intention to bring about world economic collapse in economics, because all that tax goes down the economic black hole and it can't come back. Once it goes into that black hole, it can't come back. It's gone. It's gone forever. So that loaf of bread document is there to try and explain in the simplest terms possible, you know, how much tax you're paying. Now, I actually didn't do the maths on that tax. That was actually done by three British chartered accountants burning the midnight oil for 3 days. And I know one of them. I've known that for a long time. I've known that for like 15 or 20 years because I know one of the guys that did it. About how much tax we actually pay in every pound or in every dollar. And it's the same across the planet. And it's willful and it's belligerent. And it's deliberate. It's the deliberate sabotage of world economics. So that was pertinent to write that document and include it. And another document, another exhibit, was the fact that you never get paid. You know, the bank and the banks. You don't lend money from the bank. No one lends money from the bank. The bank haven't got any money to lend you. And there is no such thing as money because it's fiat currency, and fiat currency is based upon confidence and belief. So I added that into the affidavit. And I can't remember if there was another exhibit. And that's what actually, it's that long ago since I wrote that affidavit. I can't remember it all. So every exhibit in the affidavit is there for an express specific reason, which is why you need to read all the parts of that affidavit to understand the complexity of what the UK government and the 657 MPs, which is Westminster, have legally agreed to. They've agreed to this. This has got government sanctioned and approved, written all over it. The government are not going to sign that legal declaration of no contact without they mean it. That's government sanctioned and approved. And the fact that I've done these 657 affidavits to the 657 MPs individually, that's 657 legal agreements which are government sanctioned and approved. There's no battle here. The war is over. The fight is over. So that affidavit, because of how and why I did it and the way that I did it, because I used an affidavit, which is a sworn statement to the penalty of perjury and full commercial liability, and the fact if it's not challenged or redressed, it is 657 legal agreements. There's your contract. There's the contract and the agreements in fact, which cannot be rebutted because it's contract in the executive office in Westminster, which is the judge's boss and the magistrate's boss and the policeman's boss. So you've gone right into the boss. You've gone right into the head office with this affidavit. That makes this affidavit the most powerful document. I'm not saying this because I wrote it. I've done all this strategically. It's the most powerful legal document ever written, because 7.5 billion people have never picked up a pen and signed that legal agreement, the consent of a governed, agreeing to be governed. Which makes the affidavit 7.5 billion times more powerful than the Magna Carta. You know, it's important for the people to understand how powerful that document is, because it's the nuclear missile of all legal documents that's ever been written by mankind. And I'm not saying that because I wrote it. I'm a strategic engineer. These people piss me off, and I'm going up in guns and bullets. Shit. And I don't fuck up. So that's the preamble and exactly what the affidavit is and why it's so powerful. And why judges shit themselves. And why barristers and lawyers shit themselves. and why social services for adult care shit themselves, and why social services for childcare shit themselves, because they've got no response. You fucking scumbag terrorists, and that's the bottom line. I'll shut up now. Answering questions time.